That's the part. I love that. It's fantastic. We're going to have new music for you soon. Going through ASCAP stuff. We're hitting the big time. It's an all-new party. It's an all-new Loftus party, everybody. There's so much news. There's so much going on. There's such a good vibration, if you will. I don't know. I'm trying desperately hard to be in a good mood. I'm fighting the end of a cold. We got the smoke from the fires blowing around, and it's a lot. It's a lot. So we're gonna jump in. We're gonna tear through this show and give you some insights onto some of the madness that happened last week. We got Gypsy on the line. We got a Liberty Gimlet joining us. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Fantastic.
And I'm in Georgia, and I am so angry. I'm not in a good mood.
Whoa. This is odd. What's going on in Georgia?
Stacey Abrams will not concede. It's just stop. Stop. It's over.
I don't care for her. I don't care for her.
I don't either, and I didn't vote for her. And yes, I'm a white woman, and I'm not going to apologize. It had nothing to do with the patriarchy. It had to do with the fact that she's a socialist.
We might as well start with that, and then I gotta do a deplorable comedy tour update. I want to get that in there. But this whole election thing, Georgia. I don't like her personality. Did you see where she tried to get everybody to chant along when she came out? Because we will stand. We will stand. We will do it. We will do it. We are Georgia. We are Georgia. Say it with me. We are Georgia. It was like, stop.
No, that's
stop
creepy.
The chanty. Yeah, it was really creepy.
You also have to remember, I voted like 2 weeks ahead of Election Day during early voting. So then I just tuned it all out. Like, I didn't watch that, but I'm reading this story. She's trying to run an ad to raise money for the runoff that can't happen mathematically. On TV the other day, the station said, no runoff has been announced. We're not running this ad. Michael Avenatti, the creepy porn lawyer, is trying to raise money for her so she can file more lawsuits. She already filed one. It's like you lost. Stop.
Well, that's not really the big disconcerting one. The big one is Broward County, right? That's that has everyone super concerned. And I'm sorry, I don't know the name of this lady.
Dr. Snipe, and I'm not even kidding.
Dr. Snipe?
I swear to God, it sounds like the villain in a James Bond movie.
Is this the older black lady?
Yes.
Dr. Snipe?
Yes.
That's hilarious. How did I not know that?
I don't know.
Voting for someone, Mr. Potter?
I went with Professor Snape. what a crazy looking lady. I didn't want to make the joke on Twitter because I didn't want to get thrown off Twitter like my friend Roseanne. But seriously, the joke I wanted to do on Twitter, because she looks, listen, Dr. Snipe,
going somewhere, Mr. Potter.
She looks like Lieutenant O'Hara's mom from Star Trek, right? And the joke I wanted to make was, hey, if this bitch can't count, how's she going to run a communications deck for the Starship Enterprise? See, that's...
Sorry, I ripped it off by telling your name.
No, it's great. Dr. Snipe. It's wonderful that she's magic. I think the Professor Snape analogy might be better because this wackadoodle, her hair is crazy. I can't look at the hair. I'm like, you got to do something about that. You got to do something about the hair. But she's just finding votes out of nowhere. Oh, we just
on box trucks.
Yeah, how many do you need to win? You need 70,000? Okay, let me check over here.
We got that.
I think I just found 72,000. It's disgusting. It looks so hinky. And I guess they're mixing in votes that have already been counted with votes that haven't been counted. And that is a jacked up situation. It is a jacked up situation. And you got some fake news riddled in there, too. Wonderful fake news.
There's so much fake news going on around all of this stuff. And not only that, folks, flashback, flashback, flashback. Ever heard the phrase hanging chads?
Yeah.
Those were in Broward County.
Well, that's and this is where the fake news comes in, because everybody keeps talking about Professor Snape was a Bush appointee, and that is not true. What happened is the hanging Chad person, I think they got let go. They got Watch's person in there, not Professor Snape, but Professor Snape's old boss. That person was a Bush appointee. That person got fired. And instead of clearing the decks and just getting all new people, they just elevated everybody up one position.
Right.
So that's how you get Professor Snape in there.
But both of them have been, both her predecessor and herself were elected. She took the position when Bush fired her predecessor.
Yeah.
She has been reelected every several years since, I think, 2004.
Because she's memorable. She's memorable. You don't forget that face, and you don't forget that hair. You forget the name.
Well, I'm just sitting here going like, okay, Broward, I get it. You're trying to do your part. You really are. But how long do you want the rest of the country looking at you like you people are so incompetent, you can't even find someone who can count?
And what is the deal? What did she get in trouble for in 2016?
Destroying ballots that were part of a court case.
If it wasn't our republic and our democracy, it would be hilarious.
I know, but it's like, Are you kidding me? And
yeah.
Then supposedly in that case, it was a dude who ran against, I can't remember his name right now, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So this is part of Debbie Wasserman Schultz world. Do we need to really say too much more? So the dude that ran against her sued the elections board in Broward County and had someone who made a statement under the penalty of perjury that said the election staff in Broward County was filling out paper ballots. Like,
oh,
sitting there manually filling out ballots. Nobody ever heard about that. Nobody.
There's a lady who tweeted. She since took the tweet down. She's an elected official. And she's like, hey, Twitter, we got a bunch of unsigned ballots here that are no good unless they're signed. But we can fix that. Reach out to me at blah, blah. And you're like, are you crazy? You just advertised for voter fraud. It's just, it's a complete and total joke. People need to be fired. People need to be fired and replaced. I don't care. And then this whole thing, I love it when we just want to count every vote. We just want to,
you
do.
You want to count every vote. Literally every vote. Every vote that's on a piece of paper that may or may not be a dead person, may or may not be a legal citizen, may or may not even be eligible to vote in the county they tried to vote in. I mean, like, Stacey Abrams.
That was the joke I was about to make.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That was the punchline interruptus right there.
Oh.
I was full throttle. I was full throttle.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Stacey Abrams sued Doherty County, which went for Hillary Clinton like 60% to 30% for like 12 absentee ballots. It's like, okay, you just sued a county run by Democrats. Run by Democrats.
It's a desperation move. I get really upset. I'm not gonna get emotionally like bent out of shape. But here's the wonderful thing. Here's the good news in all this. Marco Rubio found his pair of cojones.
Yeah, didn't he?
It's great.
Though?
It's great to watch all these right wingers wake up and go, wow, this is crazy. It's the Lindsey Graham syndrome. It's, you know, it's all trickle down from Donald Trump. It's like, wow, I guess if something egregious happens before my very eyes and I make a stink about it, that's cool.
Pay attention.
Yes, it's very cool. It's very cool, Marco. Take
a
big drink of water
star.
And have at it. Yeah, it's wonderful.
This affects his life personally. In 2 years, he has to run for re-election in Florida and somebody has to count the votes in Broward County.
Well, yeah, old Marco better. He might want to jump in and make sure that Lieutenant O'Hara's mom has nothing to do with the process. But I'm glad we brought up Debbie Wasserman Schultz because, like, talk about the not the queen of corruption, but definitely the princess of corruption. she's still an elected official, yeah?
Oh, yeah, they re-elected her.
Yeah, she's still doing it. And then here's the thing, and I know you wrote a piece about people being mad at Fox News. You wrote a piece about people being angry because I didn't get a chance to read it because I was a little hurt, but I'll get over it. I'll get over it. Here's the thing with Fox News, and I want to discuss your article. It reminded me that I wanted to talk about this a couple of podcasts ago. I watch the Fox News. I watch the MSNBC. Occasionally, I'm on MSNBC. I'll let you guys know when that appearance shows comes up. But the other day, it's like 2 weeks ago, I'm watching Fox, and it's like the Five or whatever, and flipping Donna Brazile is on there.
Yeah.
There's the reason to boycott. If you want to get mad at Fox, get mad about that. I'm like, who booked her?
But that doesn't make me mad.
It infuriated me. It infuriated
really?
Me.
It doesn't.
You got Donna Brazile, who snuck the questions to Hillary Clinton for a presidential debate. That is the height of what we do. Now, everybody's mad at Trump. There's this big investigation, Russia collusion. And when you have a woman like Donna Brazile, who legit is a threat to our democracy by trying to rig a presidential debate. And then you're like, welcome to Fox News. Are you crazy? If anybody is an outcast, if anybody is guilty of total and complete shenanigans, it's Donna Brazile. There is you cannot have her on as a pundit. She is not allowed to talk smack about anything. She is a non-citizen.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
And here's another one. Here's another non-citizen. Flipping Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That's you're not allowed to pontificate about anything. You rigged it, sister.
She really doesn't, though. Like, you never see her on TV anymore.
Well, that's because she's got good PR people. And
yeah,
I guarantee
the television.
She's just laying low. She's laying low. And then here comes Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi will be the snowplow and she'll take all the heat. And then you'll get Donna Brazile or rather Debbie Wasserman Schultz on TV talking about it again. She'll be back. She's letting someone else run interference for her.
Yeah. But as far as the Fox News thing, Donna Brazile, like in particular aside. Okay.
Yeah.
Fox News in August of this year was again voted the most trusted U.S. media company out there. Because what they do is they still allow Shep to do the news, right?
Yeah.
They allow Chris Wallace to be critical of some of the things Donald Trump does. They have Bret Baier, who is about the most fair and balanced journalist, one of them that's out there, right?
Yes.
And what people who were screaming boycott Fox News aren't understanding is that when they're watching Laura Ingraham and I don't have a personal issue with these people, but we've talked about it 100 times before, when they're watching Laura Ingraham, when they're watching Sean Hannity, when they're watching Tucker Carlson, they're getting opinions, not news.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've been saying for the longest time on this show.
I'm just going to DVR Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity, and I'm never watching Fox again because they had the nerve to call the House for Democrats. Well, they were right.
Yeah, but was the issue that people thought they called it too early and that it would affect voter turnout in other states? Is that what people were upset about?
The only place that the polls hadn't closed when they called it was the West Coast. And the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. I mean, either you're going to go out and vote or you're not. And to me, if I was a Republican sitting in California in a district that had a prayer of electing or reelecting a Republican, that would motivate me to get out of my seat. Oh, crap. They're gaining seats. Let me go help.
Well, I think they realize that it affects people just the other way, that people get depressed and then they don't go vote. So, hey, if it's a fact, you can report a fact.
So you can't be too mad at Fox News. Was calling it though, and I mean, they call presidential elections before California votes.
Well, yeah, yeah, and they've changed that though. They've had to because they realized that what was the election that it legitimately affected. They could see they called the presidential election early, and then people on the West Coast just stopped turning out to vote, and it still could have changed the outcome of the election. That's what Karl Rove was saying the other day, a long time ago. But here's why people get angry about Fox News, is because they want that cheerleader. They want that cheerleader for the right, and I can understand their frustration. I really can. But that's it's actually the wonderful thing about having Fox News be, you know, the most fair and balanced. You're going to get people on the right who are upset with it. You're going to have people on the left who are upset with it. I saw a guy the other day. He's some kind of psychologist on TV, and he was literally calling Fox News propaganda, and it's brainwashing and all this other nonsense.
I don't know, when you have Martha McCallum and you have Bret Baier and you have Shep, and you have these other folks that are actually delivering the news. Like, Fox and Friends is Fox's version of the freaking Today Show. It's not news. It's paper stories. I mean, it's just – but to me, the other thing that folks miss, right, I don't just mock the New York Times. I read their articles because I need to know what the other side is saying. It's like what you were saying when you debated immigration.
Yeah.
We know what the legit questions are. We know they don't have an answer because we read their arguments and they're based on emotion. If you don't know what people like, God forbid, Juan Williams or Marie Harf, her voice just makes me go, but if we don't know what they're saying, we can't do the counter argument.
Yeah, that is very correct.
If you want to stay in an echo chamber, that's fine. We lost the suburbs this election. Let's just go get our butts kicked the next time. No. We have to know what they're saying so we can counter it and we can do marketing better.
Well, we can't. We can't.
We should be
able to. We should be able to, but it is – I don't want to get too depressed. But thank you for bringing up Marie Harf, because I now have – I want Marie Harf and that Christian Cinema girl to get into some kind of a, I don't know, a wrestling contest.
Serious?
They look like they're going to be sisters. They have the same glasses, the same hair. Kristen Cinema is
terrifying.
For many different reasons. But this is why people get upset with Fox News, is because what they want, what they desperately want Fox News to be, is they want it to be MSNBC. They want it to be The View. They want it to be nothing but an exclusive cheerleader for the right. And when they have real debates and real news and conflicting opinions, which is what real news is all about, people get upset because there is a giant vacuum. There is a giant vacuum that everyone is just straight up ignoring, and that is how many people are on the right, and they have nothing. They have very limited entertainment options. They have very limited options when it comes to news. Thank goodness for One America News Network. I wish those guys nothing but love. What's the other one?
I have a problem.
What's your problem?
Don't put news in your brand because you're really like 24 hours worth of opinion.
Well, this is what you and I have been saying for years. I legit, and this is what you and I said a long, long time ago. There should be a banner. You know, when they have those chyrons underneath like CNN and MSNBC, mm-hmm. there should literally be a big like colored banner that never leaves the screen. That says opinion, Like, the whole thing. Like, in newspapers, you have an op-ed section, and that's fine. However, that's not news. That's opinion. So the same thing should be true. If it's not news and it's opinion, you have to show it for that giraffe-necked freakazoid on MSNBC. That girl show, Rachel Maddow. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah,
opinion.
She's gonna have a nervous breakdown.
I was making fun of her. When is she gonna have a nervous breakdown?
When Mueller puts his report out and there's absolutely no evidence of collusion, she is going to lose her mind. She literally, according to media studies, has done more coverage about the non-existent Russia problem than any other opinion show. And when it comes back as a big old freaking goose egg, she might just melt in the studio.
Well, I can tell you, here's my prediction right now. I'm just going to call it right now. Here's what's going to happen. The conspiracy theories will go on because now that Jeff Sessions is out and you got Whitaker in there, the conspiracy theory will be this. Whitaker put the screws to the Mueller report and they had to leave stuff out, and Whitaker used his powers and that's how the president skated. That's how he skated. That's how they're gonna play that.
So everybody missed it, is what you're saying.
Everybody missed what?
On Election Day, a Freedom of Information Act request was published by the folks over at Conservative Review under Mark Levin. That Freedom of Information Act request had a woman whose name escapes me right now, who worked for the State Department. She was the Department Deputy Assistant Undersecretary, blah, 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 whatever the title is, of Europe and Eurasia. She emailed a bunch of her colleagues a big, long freaking report and basically said that people who had been watching Russian activity online since 2014 took note of the fact that during the 2016 election, Russia attempted to amplify both the far right and the far left, up to and including being behind an initiative leading into the final election and trying to get the Electoral College not to vote for Donald Trump. You remember that video that, like, Martin Sheen and a bunch of other people were on? Do your job, electors. Save our democracy.
I'm missing some connective tissue.
Okay.
So Jeff Sessions is out. Whitaker's in.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what this girl's going to lose her mind from MSNBC? Right. Because, I don't get it.
There is information out there that shows us that assets and people at the State Department knew in December of 2016 that what the Russians were doing was not biased for Trump. Their motive was not to elect Trump. It was to cause dissension and conflict within the two factions, if you will, within the United States by doing things to both support Hillary and tear her down and support Donald Trump and tear him down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's out there now. That is publicly available information via FOIA. And not only that, the woman who wrote this email is one of the people that alerted Bruce Orr to the dossier. So she already knew the dossier was crap because she had all these other reports.
Well,
and not one media outlet covered it. Not one, not even Fox.
It's I think there's so many get ready for that shenanigans. There's so many shenanigans going on.
But
at
our
the
shenanigans
Department
are
of
cheeky
Justice.
And fun.
there's so many shenanigans going on at the Department of Justice and in the FISA courts and in the FBI.
I know.
I want Whitaker to release all of it. I did a video a long time ago.
Declassify everything.
Declassify it all.
Everything.
Yeah. I wonder why they're slow playing that. I've never been able to figure that out. I thought maybe they're waiting for the elections, but it seemed like it would be a good thing to declassify in the weeks leading up to the midterms. However, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to miss Jeff Sessions at all. I will miss his delicious cookies. I want to spend some time talking about this. He looks like the Keebler Elf. That was the lousy joke there. Jeff Sessions and his delicious.
I'm like, cookies, what?
He legit looks like, just like what's his chick in Florida looks like Uhura's mom, Jeff Sessions looks like the Keebler elf. We all know this. We all know this. I want to talk about Jim Acosta and something that's driving me absolutely crazy. It was delicious. Now, here's some things. This is just me. I'm getting on my soapbox here because this whole thing where the video was faked. That is still alive. That's still going. And this is the power of the media. It was on media blah blah on Fox. It was on Sunday, you know, with Chris Wallace this morning. This whole the video of, and here's the here. Okay, I gotta back up. Jim Acosta is a douche. That guy is a total and complete douche.
Absolutely.
He's not even a reporter.
No.
He's like a crappy member of a debate club. He's not even asking questions.
No.
He's challenging the president to a debate. You said this. It's not that. He's the worst. He's rude. He's obnoxious. The president answered like five questions in a row from this jackhole. Five. And then the dude goes to change the subject and talk about it was caravan. Then after five questions on,
why would you call it an invasion? Oh, he was arguing with him about that.
Yeah. And then after like five questions on that, he starts to go into Russia and Trump shuts it down. OK, so then we get into the video.
Did you see the best part?
I'm talking about the best part.
Oh, OK.
When Jim Acosta karate chops that chick's hand. He like karate chops her arm. He definitely uses his left hand to press her arm out of the way. Then realizing he's been a jerk, he then says, "Excuse me, ma'am, I'm trying to ask a question." Because he knows he did something that you're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Now, to all the total and complete jackhole douches who want to talk about the video being faked. They talk about it's a faked video. It's a faked video. Like the White House and Paul Joseph Watson from InfoWars suddenly went over to Skywalker Ranch and hired the people who did Jurassic Park to create an arm out of nothing. No, the guy put his arm on hers. Kaboom. The video was not sped up. It was not altered. What happens is when you download something like that, and then as an editor, you go in. It's called push in, so you can highlight the motion of his arm. When you do that, and then you compress it into an MP4 file, when you put it back, you're going to have little variations, and that's all from the video being compressed. No one altered that video. BuzzFeed knows that. Salon knows that. And they're all on record as saying our expert looked at it and the video was not being tampered with. However, the media keeps going with this narrative of, well, that's a tampered video. And no one pushes back except for poor Kellyanne Conway out there all by herself.
And Sarah Sanders.
Yeah. It was so annoying. So annoying. And I would have Jim Acosta back. If I was the president, I would never stop messing with this guy. I would never stop. I'd go, you know what? My bad. You can come back in. Here's your press badge. And then I would call on him, have him stand up and start talking, and then go, you know what? I changed my mind. Have a seat. And then I'd call on somebody else and answer their question. Then I'd come back to Acosta. Oh, Jim Acosta, CNN. And he'd stand up and I'd go, you know what? I changed my mind. Have a seat. And I would just have him stand up and sit down. I would be the biggest dickhead to that guy. I would put him through the ringer. He is not a journalist.
Well,
he's a crappy member of a junior high debate club.
Certainly not a reporter. I call Jim Acosta and the White House correspondent job the worst person job match in history, because what Jim Acosta actually wants to be is an opinion host like Sean Hannity for the left.
Yes.
That's what he wants to be. That's not what his job is. And it all could have been avoided instead of saying, you referred to these people, this caravan, as an invasion. And why did you say that? It's not an invasion. They're hundreds of miles away. That doesn't have a question mark at the end. If he had said to President Trump, nearing the midterms as your closing argument, you put out an ad depicting the migrant caravan that's coming up, you know, through Mexico. Do you feel that this message might have been off-putting to some voters? That's a question. It has a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Because I don't care if it was off-putting to you, Jim Acosta. You are not the story.
And here's the other annoying, completely annoying thing. And this is just, we're just listing annoying things. And that's wonderful. I like doing it. It's not like, and this is up to all those people in the media. And it's the Jim Acostas. It's the SE Cups. It's all of them. They're like, our job is to ask hard questions. Our job is to question authority. Yes, it is. You self-centered, narcissistic losers, you geeky film school dropouts, you wannabe stand-up comics, you untalented piece of feces. You didn't ask hard questions for 8 years. I went back, I looked at Acosta's resume and how he rose up through the ranks. He's just a loudmouth dick. That's it. Until he's confronted with Obama. Because you think, okay, well, this guy's bread and butter is he's like the annoying little creep. And he must have done something to Obama because he's just speaking truth to power and that's his job. He had like one little run-in with Obama, and it was Obama was talking about ISIS, and Acosta bravely stood up to Obama and went, "What are we going to get these sons of bitches?" Wow. That's brave, Jim. That's brave. Now, what are we gonna get these guys?
There are some good people sitting in that press room, and I just want to give them a shout out.
There's none.
No, there is.
There's none. There's none. There is. There's none. There's none. Stop talking. There's none. I'm not gonna play this game. I'm not gonna play this little. There's good people at the FBI. There's good people in journalism. There's good. No, guess what? For this show, there's not.
Katie Pavlich.
She sucks.
No, she doesn't.
I know, but I'm just going to stand up for myself.
And I don't, you know, there's several people that I don't think suck. They actually ask questions that have a question mark at the end. And those questions can be tough. That's fine. But they have to have a question mark at the end, and they can't be about you.
It's all like saying the sky is blue. It's all just a declaration of what it's. I'm talking about the asses. I'm talking about the oh my gosh, and this is a great transition. There was that lady from NPR who stood up in that press conference, and she's like, "You said nationalist, which is a lot like nationalism, which is a lot like white nationalism." It's like, and I don't blame Trump at all. Listen. She's pretty much calling him a racist, and right. I love that he got offended. He was like, "That's a racist question. How dare you do that? You offended me." That was the best response. You can't teach that. That's just normal. And yeah, sit down. Sit down. I'm going to stand there and let you call me a racist? I'm offended by you. And so this transitions to the next thing. Like, I got zero problem with Trump going on. He's a nationalist. It's the opposite of globalist. And if you can't get past that, if you've got to think that there's some hidden message, some dog whistle, some foghorn, blah, 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 it's madness. And so I want Trump to keep saying he's a nationalist. I really do. Just to drive them crazy. And it's gotten so bad now. Now you've got the French guy, Macron, the guy who's still banging his middle school teacher. This guy, he better pick a team. Old Frenchie Frogleg better pick a team. He offended me the other day. He's like, Europe needs its own army. We need an army to protect ourselves from Russia, from China, and from the United States.
Yeah, that worked really good at the beginning of the 20th century, dude. You had it all under control.
I'm like, buddy, you better get an army now. You better get one now. Mm-hmm. Because when you start saying smack like that, whoo, it's on, Macron. You don't think we can whoop your butt, France? Are you serious? Like, I was so deeply offended. And then during his ceremony to commemorate the end of World War I, Macron, in his speech, he's like, the problem with saying you are a nationalist is like saying bad things about democracy. And I'm like, I will smack you upside the head. You high school teacher banging spineless hunk of junk.
Well, and then we have Soy Boy up in Canada, who is no better.
I'm not done with Macron.
Oh, okay.
I want to go after. I can't stand that guy. He better learn how to play ball.
I wouldn't even visit France at this point. I would not take a vacation to the UK. My ancestors came from Ireland. I would love to go to Ireland. I won't go there because I'm terrified. I won't let my kids go there.
You can go to Ireland. You can go to Ireland. You'll be fine. But France, it's too funny. It's like France is gone. France is gone.
I know, but everyone I know
who goes over there is like bummed out. They're like, yeah, I was in France in 1990 and it was blah, 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 blah. Yeah. It's just beautiful, gorgeous. And then they go back and they're like, yikes, France is messed up. All my Jewish friends who go to France, they're like terrified when they come home. It's like the anti-Semitism is real. If you're a Jew in France, you are afraid. It is bad. Well, and you can just look at the numbers either. And it's like, wow, I wonder what happened. It's almost as like they invited a bunch of anti-Semites to live amongst them. It's not working out. And I love it when these people who are in charge of their own countries crumbling before their very eyes, like Macron.
Cookie?
Like the Macron cookie man. Start telling right. us, hey, you better watch it with your nationalist stuff. No, oh, we are watching it. We're watching your beautiful society go right down the toilet. So pardon us if we don't do what you did. Woo, I love it.
I'm all for a European army. Go for it. Go for it. We will just take all of that money and reinvest it domestically. And that's just fine.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
What?
The Russians don't live next door to us.
No, they don't.
They don't. And if you think that Putin still wouldn't take Poland if he could, you're crazy. You're crazy.
God, have you seen those commercials on TV about the Polish people celebrating 100 years of democracy and independence?
As far as I'm concerned, the Polish people are the only true badasses in Europe.
It's beautiful. It's this beautiful commercial awesome. Where they're like, oh, they really are. They really are. They're awesome.
Make all the fun of them you want to. I like me some Polish folk.
Well, that's the original political correctness. It's the original. Every wave of immigrants. Here's a little fun to know fact. Every wave of immigrants to the United States was the victim of they're so stupid. Okay.
Right.
When the Irish came over, the Irish, they're so stupid. And there was like the Irish are so stupid jokes. And then the Italians came over and then the Italians. Oh, the Italians are so stupid because they didn't understand the language. They didn't understand where they were living.
Well, we all had nicknames too.
And then the Polish people came over and everybody's like, OK, now it's their turn. The Polish people are so stupid. They're so stupid. Well, then they got offended and it kind of caught on. Maybe we shouldn't do this anymore. So when there was another wave of immigrants after them, we didn't do the they're so stupid thing anymore.
Mm.
So the Polish people got stuck with it. Like it's supposed to be
the last one.
Yes.
They were the last one.
It's supposed to be like duck, duck, goose. Right. And there should have been another wave.
There should have been another stupid group is what you're saying.
No.
Oh, okay.
Now the Polish are stuck with this moniker of like they're the stupid people. But I'm very sorry. They're a wonderful people. Their democracy totally kicks ass. They're fantastic. So I apologize to them for that.
And they're like they're tough as nails, man. They
held off
people on two fronts. They were, oh, God.
Okay, other things that are making me angry.
I was just going to say, my favorite part of the Acosta presser was when Trump actually came around the podium and looked like he was going to come down and kick his butt.
It is, and this is where it comes back to, Donald Trump is a stand-up comic. That is what you do. When you have a heckler and you engage with them and then you go, okay, this person's just drunk. There's nothing I can say that's going to make this better. You step away from the microphone and then you start to get angry as the comic. You're like, where is security? Where is security? And then that's when that poor little intern came over.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And then that poor girl, and then someone on Twitter, some blue check mark is like, the way that girl looks at Donald Trump, it's like she's in a cult and like she's looking at a cult leader.
No,
you're like, hey,
she's like taking her cue like for where she's supposed to grab the microphone. That's just, they were dunking on her terrible saying she assaulted Acosta.
Yeah, it's like, no,
no,
you dumb blue check mark. She looks like an intern who has a job at the White House and realizes the president's getting mad because she hasn't taken the microphone yet.
Exactly.
Like, put your... It's, and then, you see all the retweets. It's madness. All right, I want to talk about the fires before we jump into some more pop culture-y, more fun stuff. The fire thing. Trump's taking a bunch of heat about his tweet about the forest mismanagement. And he's right. And he's right. They have wasted the money to manage the forests in California. Mm-hmm. The Department of Forestry has for almost 3 years in a row now, they go, you got too much underbrush. You got too many dead trees packed in way too close to the living trees. The forests are getting crowded. There's just too much kindling there. You're going to have a problem. They said it in 2016. They said it in 2017. And now things are on fire and people are losing everything. And somehow Trump's the bad guy and it's one of the things that I love about him. He's cutting to the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're bummed out that people are getting hurt and they're losing everything, but it'll just keep happening as long as the merry band of misfits in charge of California don't do anything about the real problem. It's not global warming. You're not spending your money correctly.
Oh, and your new governor.
Oh, jeez.
I caught a little bit of his press conference. Well, you know, yeah, we've got a large homeless population, but that's not a Democrat problem. That's everyone's problem. As a society, we've allowed this to happen. No, California, as a society, you keep electing these noobs who don't do anything about it.
It's the worst. I can't wait to hit the dismount from this place. It'll be so much funnier when I'm not in the middle of it.
Yeah,
it'll be so much fun, but I'm not kidding. It's such a beautiful state. It's such a beautiful state, and to watch them just ruin it, just absolutely day by day, systematically, and with each new fix, they only make it worse. And it's
49% of people in the Bay Area want to relocate, and 61% of them want to go to Texas.
Well, there's the big problem. There's the big problem. Did a monologue about this on the flip side in season one. It's disheartening to be so far ahead of the curve. But this is what happens in a nutshell, and I'm sure you would agree with me. People have these little wonderful pseudo socialist utopias like California, and then it all goes, and it all goes to hell in a handbasket, and it's not business friendly, and there's too much crime, and there's people defecating on the streets, and the homeless population is out of control, and there's needles, and there's crime, and the taxes on small businesses, and gasoline taxes, and taxes on this, and taxes on your PlayStation. People go, I gotta get out of here. I got to get out of here because they can't afford it. Their quality of life is garbage. So they go to places like Texas that are very business friendly. It's very old school. It's all very sensible. It's less regulations. It's less government interference, and business is always booming. So these morons go to places like Texas, but they keep voting Democrat. And so they slowly, literally, it's like locusts.
I can't remember who it was.
They finish feeding off of one place. They get up in a swarm, and Texas, you better watch out. This whole Beto O'Rourke, Ted Cruz thing, that was a lot closer than I wanted to admit.
Abbott still won by 13 points, though. I think that was more a Ted Cruz problem than it was a anything else, because there must have been at least some people who voted for the Republican Greg Abbott for governor and still voted for Beto O'Rourke for senator, because Ted Cruz has not done a very good job rehabbing himself since he ran for president.
Yeah, Ted Cruz has. Well, what I don't want to get into too much Ted Cruz. Here's some good news, though.
Yeah.
On post-election numbers. Millennials, which is the big terrifying voting block,
right.
They only showed up. Only 12% of them showed up.
Oh, good. Stay home, kids. We like that.
Exactly. It's the exact same numbers as the last two midterms, I guess. It's 12%.
Even skateboarding Beto didn't get them out.
Oh, that guy with his little practiced arm movements. That's the other thing. His little practice, the way he moves his arm, it's like, you robot, I cannot stand you.
And the F-bomb in his concession speech, because he's edgy.
Yeah, he's a rock star. He's a rock star. And they got him on stage and the lights low, and they got the spotlight on him like he's Bono from U2 and the smoke machine's going. Move that arm, Beto. Move that arm, you crazy fake Mexican. Move it. Drop an F-bomb on me.
He's Irish.
He's just so Mexican. Beto, with his arm movement and his smoke machines. Get on that skateboard and ride. You're giving me a Democratic boner.
All the people on social media screaming at white women for actually voting for the son of Cuban immigrants was just about killing me. Like, these people know Beto wasn't actually Hispanic, right?
They do not care.
White women voted for the minority, and it's problematic.
Yeah, how dare you. How dare you? Vote for a real immigrant.
really good news. John James up in Michigan almost won. He was like behind by 14 points. He got within a half a point of a 23-year Dem in Michigan for senator. That's huge.
What about this as a campaign? I want to actively campaign for Democrats in California and in Michigan. Because it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. Right now, the Democrats can complain about this, that, and the other thing. But like, I'm like, here's what I – this just occurred to me. I want to vote – I want to go total Democrat in California and in Michigan. Maybe just do California first because that's like the fifth largest or sixth largest economy. Let's just do it. Let's just – as Republicans, let's just stay home for the next election. And just let the Dem have at it. Have at it. Just do exactly what you want to do.
Still vote for your federal elections, though.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But I want it to go downhill fast. Yeah. It's taken too long. Just rip the Band-Aid off and just have it. Just let that little shopping cart roll down the hill into the fire and burn. And
burn,
then
baby, burn.
When everybody realizes what an actual garbage dump, then they'll be begging conservatives to come back in and take over.
Actually, what will happen is what happened in Illinois, because they were going bankrupt, right? I mean, bankrupt because of their pension system.
They couldn't pay lottery winners.
I know. They still can't. But so they elected a Republican for one term as governor. Now they've elected some billionaire Democrat who is deciding to put in a mileage tax by the mile. So in a city where people live in the exurbs, 60 miles away from downtown Chicago and commute in every day, he's going to tax you by the mile.
So they're going to do that. They're going to tax people by the mile. And they're taxing PlayStations. They're taxing Xboxes now. There's a pleasure tax. Yes.
In Illinois or California?
In Illinois.
Oh, my God.
If you get
what
on your plate.
TVs?
That'll be next. They're calling it a pleasure tax. So
you know what they're going to tax ultimately?
Tell me. Say it.
A pleasure tax, Michael? Really? You couldn't get there?
I was going to make you say it. I wanted to see how far you would go.
No, I was just throwing it up there so you could knock it out of the park.
I
just love the play on words because she's talking about a pleasure tax and then she says you can't get there.
I can't get there. I can get very close, but then the image of that Beta O'Rourke pops into my head. I don't want to run out of time. There's a couple things I want to get to. This is great. I love it when there's too much wonderfulness to talk about. I just want to bring this up as a point of order because we were talking about Gab recently and how they tried to dismantle Gab because some violent dude said something on Gab, and because they didn't immediately do something, they tried to eliminate them as an entity on planet Earth. Well, Gab survived. They found another host or another server, whatever, so they're still around. But boy, howdy, the guy who shot up that country bar in California, He was posting on Instagram. He was posting on Facebook. I guess he was doing it like before and actually while he was in there. So hold your breath, America, because any second now, Instagram and Facebook, they're going to get wiped off the face of the earth, aren't they? Oh, no, they won't. They just want to go after Gab because Gab actually stands for free speech. So that's a little soapbox moment on that. And here's another statistic that should just terrify everyone. When they got the numbers back. I love stats like this. When the ricin was sent to the Trump family and to congressmen and all that happened, they've tracked how many stories the media did. So when ricin is sent to the GOP, there were 2,270 stories. 2,270. Now, when fake bombs go out in the mail to Democrats, the number gets a little higher.
Just a little?
3,760,000.
Wow.
That is the problem in a nutshell. That is the problem in a nutshell. And this is why earlier when we were talking about Fox News, and I'm saying people just want that cheerleader. They want that cheerleader. Fox News has to stay the way it is. You have to be fair and balanced. However, those people are out there. They're incredibly frustrated, which leads me to the deplorable comedy tour. Last week, we did Houston and we did Dallas, and they were insanely successful events. Insanely. Oh, my goodness gracious. People are so happy. Really, it made me feel good as a human being. It's wonderful. Like, I love telling these jokes. I love joking about politics. I love being on stage and to have a packed house just ready. Just, oh my gosh, when the premise gets a round of applause, I'm like a kid in a candy shop. So right now, as just a little update on what's going on there, we're definitely doing more cities. The big question is, will be the size of theaters we'll be going into and what those exact cities are. So I'm not trying to be coy. I'm trying to be upfront and honest about this. We will be announcing more dates. I had a great time. I hadn't worked with Steve McGrew in a very, very long time. That dude is very funny. He's very funny. The show's very clean. You can bring the whole family, which is, well, I wouldn't bring like you can
hit toddlers.
It's PG-13. We'll say that.
Okay.
And Terrence Williams. I'm sure you know this kid from Twitter. He's on Twitter and he like does reaction videos. And that kid is hilarious and has really good comedic instincts. And he's a natural. And he's only going to get more and more popular. We had an absolute blast. And the deplorable choir, these girls from Texas, they brought a guitar player with them. They're singing these songs. The audience is all singing along. This thing could get big. It could get very big. So I'll keep everybody updated. But the media bias is completely real. And we're trying to bring some entertainment to the masses, and we're having a blast, and we're having a blast while we do it. It's fantastic. So, on to more media stuff. We got to celebrate the wonderful things that happen. On SNL recently, Pete Davidson made some little tiny joke about this Dan Crenshaw guy in Texas. He's a veteran, and he lost an eye in combat, and Pete Davidson just cavalierly said, you know, hey, he lost an eye, you know, in the war or whatever. And it was just a little too cavalier and it was awkward and blah, blah, blah. They had the guy on SNL last night. They had Pete Davidson, God bless him. He had Dan Crenshaw on SNL, and it was an awesome segment. And the first part, Pete invites Dan to make fun of him.
Last week, I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do it.
Please?
One.
All right.
And now, first impressions with Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw.
Thanks, Colin. This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on. Well, one more. This is
good. All right. All right.
He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Yeah, man. That's good. We should wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. No, this is fun. This is fun.
Cool.
He looks like Martin Short in the Santa Claus 3. By the way, one of these people was actually good on SNL.
Ha ha! It was great. It was great. And this goes to show. And it's actually the secret that I don't want to have. It's a secret I don't want to get out. It's like the special sauce that I want to do. Here you have a congressman. Actually, pretty good at cracking jokes. Everybody laughs.
Mm-hmm.
We can take as good as we get. That's how it's supposed to work. I know Saturday Night Live won't stick with this as a recipe, but like everyone is terrified of entertainment for the right. They're terrified of normalizing the president or anyone who stands up for conservative values. And is actually funny, but that was just a great moment. I doubt they'll stick with it. Now, here comes my favorite moment. As we tape this on Veterans Day, and it'll be out tomorrow when Veterans Day is actually observed, because this Congressman Dan Crenshaw is a veteran, and I didn't know this. I didn't realize that Pete Davidson's dad, I think, was either a fireman or a policeman, and died in 9/11, died in those attacks.
Yep.
So, yeah, and wow, that I had no idea. So this next part of SNL, I thought was just absolutely beautiful, perfect, wonderful, and good. And so I want to play that for you guys.
Okay, but seriously, there's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other. This is Veterans Day weekend, which means that it's a good time for every American to connect with a veteran. Maybe say thanks for your service, but I would actually encourage you to say something else. Tell a veteran, never forget. When you say never forget to a veteran, you are implying that as an American, you are in it with them. Not separated by some imaginary barrier between civilians and veterans, but connected together as grateful fellow Americans who will never forget the sacrifices made by veterans past and present, and never forget those we lost on 9/11, heroes like Pete's father. So I'll just say, Pete, never forget.
Never forget.
The audience goes crazy. It was a beautiful moment. It was wonderful, and that is how it's supposed to work. That is how it's supposed to work. I literally, when I saw that, I saw it on Twitter. I started getting teary-eyed.
Well, Misty, I will say this. I think Dan Crenshaw has a better shot at becoming president than Beto O'Rourke does. He actually won his election, and he's cool.
Yeah. And I think the eye patch is kind of cool here.
I know. That's cool, huh?
We didn't get to spend a lot of time. I wanted to talk about Tucker Carlson, that whole thing that went on with his house. That's disgusting. Too much. That is too much. And
Tucker's a good guy. I mean,
he's a very good dude. And his wife's hiding in the pantry. Thank God the kids weren't home. That's just they broke down his door practically. That's really scary stuff. And it's nice to see Stephen Colbert, I guess, took a pretty hard line against that.
Good.
I thought this was a very cool thing. It's not our website. It's a different website. But they did a very, very cool thing the other day. And hopefully we can do something like it in the future. I follow this account on Twitter, Geeky Sex Toys. They make these hilarious. Say what?
I said, oh, dear.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. They make like really interesting and odd, and I guess they work. You know, people review them, but it's like, you know, R2-D2 and just really odd, like Star Wars. It's all adult sex toys. So it's fun. It's funky. It's nerdy. I celebrate that. They did this thing the other night where they're going to start doing movies, and I guess commenting on them. They they had a link to this movie called Island of Lost Souls that was made in like 1932. It was, you know, they weren't showing it. They just had the link to a site that was showing it. And then they were going to have some like discussion of it on their website. I thought it was a really cool idea as an experiment. So this movie, Island of Lost Souls, is based on the island of Dr. Moreau. And it's 1932. And Bela Lugosi's in it. Lon Chaney's in it. I'd never even heard about this movie because like, it was so highly sexualized. They were trying to like push the boundaries back in 1932 to see what they could get away with. And right. I guess they pushed it so far that a lot of the rules for cinema were changed after this movie. So it was just hilarious. I hadn't like looked at an old movie like this in a million years, but Charles Laughton is in it. I can't do a Charles Laughton, but he's an effeminate Dr. Moreau who lives on this island. It's just the acting is so like 1930s. The makeup is, but it kind of works in a weird way. And so you keep waiting for like, what's the titillating part? Was it? I couldn't make it through. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I want to. Is that how badly I want to see some 1932 titties? But Charles Laughton is a joy. The movie's really, the acting is just horrible. It's all that 1932 acting. And then Charles Laughton comes on and actually does something interesting and good and just steals the show. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I think we're going to call that an episode of the show. We got big stuff coming. There's always more to talk about. There's a wonderful article that I wrote on theloftistparty.com about when ugly people were allowed to make music and bad music videos and ruining music videos and why do we even have music videos anymore. Go check that out. There's always great pieces at theloftistparty.com, and you are invited to participate, you guys. This is your another weekly reminder. Boy, the algorithm is real. And the deck is stacked against us. If you are leaning to the right, they don't want us to succeed. They don't want us to succeed. So make sure you go to theloftistparty.com, participate, subscribe to the YouTube channel, be our friend on Facebook. All this stuff sounds hacky, 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 but it's not. Leave a review for the podcast on iTunes. We gotta beat that algorithm. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. You guys are the best. I will talk to you soon. We'll see you next week.